We are very thankful that God has blessed us to be assembled again tonight and to be a part of another series of gospel meetings. We thank God for this church, for the wonderful way in which you join your voices together to sing these wonderful hymns. I wish that you could just really tape or record the I'd like to take that back to Texas with me and let the people in Texas hear some good singing. Not saying that we don't do well, but we're not as well as we think we are. And sometimes it's hard to convince a Texan. You have to show him. And I really enjoy just listening and participating in the wonderful singing that is done here at Hart Street. You almost make me feel like I could lead singing. But we want to thank all of you for coming and being a part of this service tonight. Those of you who are members of sister congregations, as it has been said, we are very thankful for your support and for your participation tonight. Among those that are here, we have Brother Carney with us again tonight, and then Brother Beamer is with us tonight, who led us in that wonderful prayer. And then I look and I see Brother Randall Tucker. Brother Tucker is a native of Nashville, but Randall has moved to Texas, and he's in Houston, Texas, and serving the church there at Scenic Woods. And it's just a blessing to have him home and to be here in support of this meeting. As I look out, I also see some transplants from Greenville Avenue Church of Christ in the person of the Hubbards, and I like for them to stand. I want you to see so you'll know how to treat people that come from Greenville. I tell you, make sure that you meet this fine couple, and they are very faithful, and it's good to know that they are faithful even while here. Those of you in our audience today or tonight who are not members of the Church of Christ, we really appreciate your presence. And it is because of you that we are engaged in this meeting. And it is our hope that as we share the gospel and preach Jesus, that you and I will come to a better understanding of what God's will is for our soul salvation. And I believe that you are here tonight because you're interested in your soul. And I'm here tonight because I'm interested in my soul salvation as well. And I've recognized the gravity with which I should approach my task here tonight. And that is that I must make sure, as a representative of God, that I preach and I teach only those things that God would have me teach. And so I'm hoping that as I take my responsibility serious, I hope you will take yours just as serious. And that is that all of us will open our hearts and our minds and study the Word of God to see what God's will is for us. Now, tonight I'm going to take a subject, and my lesson is entitled The Cross and the Church. The Cross and the Church. And I want to show from this lesson the relationship that the church has to the cross. And I hope to prove tonight the essentiality of the church as it relates to the cross of Jesus Christ. I want us to turn to a passage of scripture that really helps us to understand the significance of the cross. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and let's look at verse number 18. And I hope those of you who are members of the Church of Christ will understand that my purpose in this meeting is really to reach out to those who have yet to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so I know that many of you are already aware of many of the things that I'm going to be sharing, but I'm thankful for your support, and I beg for your support as we speak to these things tonight. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 18, the Bible says, For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The sacrifice of Christ is the very heart and soul of the Scripture. Christ without the cross is powerless to save sinners. I'm saying to you again that you and I must understand that without the cross and without Christ, you and I who are sinners cannot be saved. When you think in terms of the cross, Jesus gave his physical life on a tree or on a cross for the sins of the world. When you consider the New Testament, one-fifth of the Gospels speak of the last 3 days of Jesus' life, that Thursday and that Friday, then being buried on that Friday and in the grave on Saturday, and then being resurrected on that first day of the week. Why is it that one-fifth of the Gospels spend so much time highlighting that crucial event of Jesus giving his life up on the cross? When you read the New Testament, one out of every 53 verses of the New Testament speak specifically to the death of Jesus Christ. So when you think in terms of Christianity as a whole, you cannot speak in terms of Christianity without speaking of the crucial event of the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. When you and I look back, even to the Old Testament, you will find that the Old Testament is filled with so many examples and so many patterns that typify the death of Jesus Christ. Christianity is the only religion where there is a sacrificial death that results in the resurrection of the one who has died. That makes Christianity distinct from all other religions in the world. When you consider our text, he says the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. Paul drops down to verse number 23 in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and he says, but we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews, it's a stumbling block. Unto the Greeks, it is something that is foolishness. But you and I understand that it is the what? The very power of God. Then when you consider the Apostle John in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 2, notice how John emphasizes Jesus Christ and his great sacrifice. And he is the propitiation for our sins. That word propitiation simply means atonement. It means he is the expiator of our sins. And the Bible says not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. If it had not been for Jesus dying on the cross, taking our place and dying for the sins of the world, you and I will not and could not ever be saved. Hear what Paul says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 20. Paul says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. Colossians 1, 20. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. So it's no doubt that great emphasis is placed upon the cross and the death of Christ on the cross for the forgiveness and for the salvation of mankind. But yet you and I must understand, though the cross is the centerpiece, though the spotlight highlights the cross of Christ, and it is the central message, what I want to show you tonight is that you and I must understand that this message of the cross unmistakably teaches that the cross and the church are intimately joined together. I'm going to say that again, that the message of the cross unmistakably teaches that the cross and the church are intimately joined together. They are combined in one plan, and it is that which responds to the gift of grace for all of humanity that is lost. I hear so many people say, well, Brother Gibbs, I believe that Jesus saves, but the church does not save. Jesus and his sacrifice on Calvary is all I need in order for me to be saved. But yet I want to prove to you that to say that I'm saved by grace through faith in Jesus is equivalent to saying I'm saved by grace through the church of Jesus Christ. The two must go together. Now, in order to prove that, I'm going to show you three things tonight. Number one, the church is created by the cross. That's the first point that I want to make, that the church is created by the cross. The second point that I want to make is that the church is cleansed by the cross. And the third point that I want to make tonight, and then we'll conclude and draw conclusion, is that the church is compelled by the cross. Now, when you say that the church is created by the cross, you must understand that the church is that which emerged as a result of the redemption of sinners by Jesus Christ. Now, I want to prove that tonight by going and showing you from Acts chapter 2 how that the church and the cross are related. In Acts chapter 2 and verse number 36, and the whole sermon of Peter actually is emphasizing the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, especially verse number 22 and 23 and 24, where he speaks in terms of how that they had taken and by wicked hands had crucified and slain him, verse 23. But 24 says, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held of it. But look at verse number 36, where the Bible says, therefore let all the what? The house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have what? Crucified, both Lord and Christ. So when you speak in terms of verse 23 and 24 and 36, it is emphasizing the crucifixion of Jesus Christ on the cross, yet his resurrection. But I want you to notice verse 37, the question that was asked. Now, when they heard this, well, what did they hear? They heard concerning the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for, watch this now, the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I am convinced that it was because of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ that these individuals, once they were baptized, were able to have their sins remitted and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What these individuals are experiencing is redemption. What they are experiencing is the blood of Christ being applied to their sinful life. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Well, what have you done? You have committed sin by crucifying Jesus Christ on Calvary. We want to get our sins taken away. What must we do? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. But what you got to understand is that that redemption is that which brought about the church of our Lord. Well, Brother Gibbs, how do you know? Notice verse number 39. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day, watch this now, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Notice now, those that had been redeemed, the Bible said they were baptized. And the same day they were added unto them. I want to underscore the them. Once they were baptized, once they had the blood of Christ applied to their life, once they were recipients of his death on the cross, the Bible says after they were baptized, then they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Brother Gibbs, what are you saying? Verse 47, watch the Bible. Praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord did what? Added to the church daily such as should be saved. In chapter 2, what you see is how that the cross of Christ is that which created and brought about the church of our Lord. There's no such thing as one having the blood of Christ applied to his life and not being a member of the body of Christ or the church of Christ. The blood of Christ, the cross of Christ, is that which brings about the church which you and I are members of. Once a man is baptized, he must be added to something. He must become a part of a fellowship. Notice verse number 41. The Bible said, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. The church emerges from the cross of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 2. Well, Brother Gibbs, can you help us further? I believe I can. Go to Acts 20 and verse number 28. Listen to how Paul speaks to the elders. He says in verse number 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all of the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath what? Purchased with his own blood. So the church that Paul speaks of is a church which has been brought into being by the blood of Jesus Christ. No wonder when Jesus was in the coast of Caesarea Philippi, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when he said, I'll build my church, what was he saying? I'm going to build a people. Not talking about a building, but I'm going to build a people. The word church means called out. They are called out of the world, and they have become a community of believers. They have become a congregation of believers. When the Lord saves a man, the Lord brings that man and puts him in a congregation. When the Lord saves a man, he brings him and puts him among his people. That's why in Acts chapter 2, the Bible said, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them. In other words, you cannot be saved and then not added unto them. You cannot be redeemed by the blood of Christ and not be a member of a body of people. Well, Brother Gibbs, what is that body of people? That body of people is the church of Jesus Christ. That's why he said, upon this rock, I will build my church. Well, how are you going to do it? He said, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What are you talking about, Jesus? When I die on Calvary, I'm going to get up. I'm going to get up on the third day, and I'm going to take my blood, and I'm going to purchase this church. Amen, wall, and amen, light. I'm just trying to tell you, nobody can say that I am saved of Jesus and I'm a recipient of the cross without the church being a part of that equation. Amen, amen, amen. Well, Brother Gibbs, you're making a big fuss out of something. I am, because see, there are a lot of people who want to believe that all I need to do is believe in Jesus, but I don't want to have anything to do with the church. I'm telling you that the church is just as important as the cross. No cross, no church. No church, no cross. Amen. Walls in life.
Yes,
I'm just going. I'm just going to tell it like it is.
Yes,
somebody say, "Well, I'm going to be saved and go on my way." No, you can't be saved and go on your way. You got to become a part of a body of people.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. Amen. May I put some more Bible on it? All right. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Well, you know, Titus 2:14 and Ephesians 5. I got to hurry because I know my time is going to get away from it. But I'm just like the old preacher. I'm going to drive it. But I'm not going to burst the plane, but I'm going to drive it. Now watch this now. In Titus chapter 2, verse number 14, what does the Bible say?
Who gave himself for us.
Now watch this. Who gave himself for us.
That he might redeem us.
Now watch this. Gave himself for us.
Yes,
that
sir.
He might do what?
Redeem us.
May I just ask the question. When did he give himself and where did he give himself for us? He gave himself for us on the cross.
Yes, sir.
Am I right about it?
Yes, sir.
Watch the Bible read.
Who gave himself for us.
Who gave himself for us.
That he might redeem us.
That he might redeem us.
From all iniquity.
From all iniquity.
And purify unto himself.
And purify unto himself.
A peculiar people.
A peculiar people. Now here's what I want to emphasize. He said that he might redeem unto himself and purify unto himself a peculiar people.
Yes,
in other
sir.
Words, once I save you, you must now become a certain kind of people. Am I right about it? And
yes,
what did
sir.
He do? He purified them. Ask me, how did he purify them? He purified them by his blood. His,
yes, sir.
His blood is the only thing that could purify a man.
Amen.
Am I right about it?
Yes, sir.
But watch the Bible read.
Purifying to himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works.
Now, may I ask you to turn to Ephesians 5. And I want to look at verse number 25. Ephesians 5, verse number 25. And
husbands,
then I'm going to move on. Husband, what?
Love your wives.
Husband, love your wives.
Even as Christ
also loved the church.
And gave himself for it.
Oh. Husband, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the what?
The church.
And did what?
Gave himself for it.
When he died on Calvary, he died for it. What did you die for? He died for the church.
Yes, sir.
The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body.
Yes,
you
sir.
Can't have Christ. You can't have the cross without having the church. The church,
amen.
Christ, cross, all go together.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. It won't take me long on the rest of this. I'm just trying to make the point. Because so many people want Jesus, but they don't want the church.
I'm going
to try to get that out of you this night. I want you to understand you cannot have Jesus without the church.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Ephesians chapter 2. Hurry right quick. Ephesians chapter 2. And I want to look at verse number 14 and come down and let's see what the Bible says. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 14. Watch
the
Bible.
For he is our peace.
For he is our peace.
Who hath made both one.
And hath broken down.
The middle wall of partition
that is between us. Read.
Having abolished in his flesh.
The enmity.
Even the law of commandments. Contained in ordinances. For making himself a twain.
One new man.
So making peace.
Watch the Bible read. That he might reconcile both unto God.
In one body.
Wait a minute. Brother Gibbs, you mean to tell me that when you preach about the cross and you say that the church emerged from the cross, that's exactly what I'm preaching.
Yes, sir.
What I'm preaching is that you can't have redemption without having the cross. You cannot have the cross without having the church. I'm trying to tell you. Same way, when my child was born, and I have four of them, they were, but it was no question that they were added to a family. You see, they weren't just brought into the world and then left out there without being brought into a fellowship and brought into a family.
Yes,
it's
sir.
The same way when God redeems and brings a new person into the world and redeems him of his sin, immediately he is associated with the church. But then let me hasten on. Point number two. Not only does the cross create the church, but the cross is that which cleanses the church. Well, Brother Gibbs, what do you mean? Well, let me show you something. The blood of Jesus is that which, first of all, separated you and allowed your sins to be forgiven and then brought into this wonderful fellowship. But what I've also found is that the blood of Jesus Christ is that which also continuously cleanses this body of people. Well, how do you know? Get for me 1 John chapter 1, and I want verse number 7. 1 John chapter 1.
But
and
if
verse
we
number
walk
seven.
In the light.
Now watch this. I want you to watch this now. But if we what? Walk in the light. As what?
As he is in the light.
He is in the light.
We have fellowship.
Oh, watch this now. We have what?
Fellowship one with another.
And the blood of Jesus Christ. I got to make my point before we get to the blood. He said if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another.
Yes, sir.
If he is the one that's going to save you, then it's a we that results out of the he that has saved you. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, and we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, does what? Cleanseth us.
Yes,
from what?
From all sin.
All sin. Now, here's the beauty of it. That word is it continueth, it cleanseth. It's a continuation. It means that it just keeps on cleansing.
Amen.
It's the same way with my body. You know, my body has blood that circulates throughout my body.
Yes.
And what it does is it just goes throughout my body. And my blood is that which carries nutrients to every part of my body. And it also is that which eliminates the waste from all the parts of my body. Without blood in your body, you cannot live, because the life of the flesh is in the blood. And here's what I noticed about blood, and that is that blood needs to always be in the body. And I don't see the blood on the outside of the body, but I see the blood inside of the body. In other words, my blood is associated with the life of this body. Same way with Jesus Christ. When a person is brought into the body of Christ, the Bible said the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth him. If you want the blood of Jesus to keep on cleansing you, because see, once you are in the church, You're not going to stop sinning. You're going to sin some more. But you, once you get in the body of Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ will keep on cleansing you. That's why the Bible said, if you say that you have no sin, you lie. And the truth is not in you. Because see, just because he saved you and brought you into this body and cleansed you from your past sin, he understands that you will continuously sin. And it's a process by which he must continuously cleanse you from all of your sin. And so that's why the blood of Jesus Christ is not a one-time cleansing, but it's a continuous cleansing all through the person's life. That's why the Bible said that you have to be brought into the body of Christ. Why? Because in the body of Christ is the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you want access to the cleansing of the blood, you got to be in the body of Christ. I know I'm right, because he said if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have what? Fellowship one with another. If you are outside of the fellowship, then you don't have fellowship one with another. And if you don't have fellowship one with another, then that means that the blood of Jesus is not going to be applied to your life. Every day that you get up in the morning, the blood of Jesus keeps on cleansing. What I like about the blood of Jesus is that his blood was so powerful that his blood could go all the way back and cleanse from the very beginning of time. And his blood is so powerful that it can reach to even generations yet unborn and cleanse even future generations. God declared a long time ago that he would not have pleasure in the sacrifices and burnt offering. But he said, Jesus said, but a body thou hast prepared for me. And Bible said, he said, lo, I come in the volume of the book, as it is written of me, to do thy will, O God, as it is written of me. When a man is brought into the body of Christ, then the blood of Jesus just keeps on cleansing. Somebody say, well, Brother Gibbs, what are you talking about? Well, it's the same way when I bought insurance from Allstate. When I bought insurance from Allstate, I recognized that that was a covenant between Allstate and me, which means that I'm covered 24/7. If something happens to my automobile or to my house or to my life, then Allstate has to pay, because I took out a policy with them. When a man becomes a child of God and becomes a Christian, he becomes a part of a organization very similar to insurance, where you're covered. Well, you're not covered by Allstate, but you're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm glad to know that as I go through life, I don't have to worry about having guilt on my conscience. Somebody said, well, Brother Gibbs, you know, I did wrong. Well, that's okay. If you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin. Well, why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, will just keep on cleansing you every day of your life. So that's why I'm convinced that when you talk about the cross, it's important that you talk about the church, because it was created by the cross. It's important that you see the cleansing is also brought about by the cross, and it's a continuous cleansing. Now, as I close my lesson this evening, and it seemed like I'm closing early, doesn't it? But that's okay. I'm going to go on and close anyway. But watch this. I believe that the cross is that which compels the church. Well, what do you mean it's that which compels the church? Well, I heard Jesus say, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. In other words, it's something about the cross, that if the cross is lifted up, there's a power that draws men to it. I know that when you think in terms of this wonderful blessing, you and I need to understand just how beautiful it is that it's that which compels the church of our Lord. Notice now, go and get for me another passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I want to look at verse number 14 and verse number 15. And I'm going to close here shortly, but watch this now. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 through 15. Notice the Bible says what?
For the love of Christ.
For the love of Christ.
Constraineth us.
The love of Christ constraineth us. Read.
Because we thus judge. That if one died for all.
Then were all dead. Read.
And that he died for all. That they which live. Should not henceforth live unto themselves. But unto him who died for them. And rose again.
So the point is that inasmuch as he died for all, and all are dead because of him, in the fact that he died for all, then all must also live for him who died and rose again.
Amen.
So I am compelled because of the death of Jesus Christ. It's that which gives me energy. It's that which motivates my life. I have to constantly think about the cross. If I think about the cross and how that the cross is that which helps me to understand how much God loved me. God loved me. I know he loved me because the cross proves to me that he loved me. Bible says that God commended his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. That's God proving to me how much he loved me. And that's what motivates me, and that's what compels me, because I know that if it had not been for God, I wouldn't even be in this position tonight to even stand here and preach his gospel. I, along with you, would be dead and gone, and we would be subject to a burning hell. But because God loved us enough, that he loved us, that he sent his only begotten son into the world, that we should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm glad to know that somebody loved me enough that he loved me before I even loved him. I'm compelled to love God because, number one, I learned that he loved me, and he loved me before I really loved him. And the Bible tells us plainly how that Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I that live, but it's Christ who lives in me.
Yes.
And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. I perceive the love of God, how that he laid down his life for us. And if he laid down his life for us, then we ought to lay down our life for our brethren.
Yes,
it's that which compels me to love God back. It's that which compels me to love my brother and my sister. They don't have to earn my love. I love them because God loved me, and because of his example, I love them. It's a love that compelled me to even worship him on Lord's Day. Why do you say that, Brother Gibbs? Because on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread and he blessed it and he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. And then he took the cup, blessed the cup, and said, this is my blood of the New Testament. So every first day of the week, I'm compelled to come and remember the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the blessing of God. It's the love of God that brings about this wonderful motivation to do what God said. As I close, I have to put on my own shoulder. I got to bear my own cross. And when you take the cross, Jesus says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and do what? And follow me. So the cross is the compelling purpose behind everything that we do. So as I end the lesson, number one, remember that it's the cross that creates the Church of Christ. It's the cross that cleanses the Church of Christ. It's the cross that compels the Church of Christ. It gets its impetus from all that we do. And if you were smart, you would always come to Jesus and accept him on his own terms. And one of the terms is by baptism. You cannot get into Christ, cannot receive the benefit of the cross without baptism. Why? Because the Bible tells us plainly that we were baptized into his death, like as Christ was, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. So when a man dies and is buried and raised again in the watery grave of baptism, he identifies with Christ. He gets in the church of Christ. He is cleansed then by the blood of Christ. And he's compelled to live the good life by the things that Jesus has done for him. So if you're here tonight, I pray that you are interested in being a part of this church, the church of the Bible, not man-made ism, not something that is of tradition, but something that God has brought into being. I wouldn't dare, if I were you, be a member of a church that does not honor Jesus. I wouldn't dare be a member of a church where Jesus died for it, where his blood cleanses it, and where his cross compels it, but it's not even honoring him by wearing his name. Shame on a church where the mountains get more honor than Jesus, where people get more honor than Jesus. Jesus is the essence of all that we have. So if I were you tonight, I would be a member of the church that I could read about in the Bible. And I would not dare allow myself to leave and to face eternal destiny without being in the church that the Bible talks about. And I pray tonight that if you're here tonight, you'll give some serious consideration to all that Brother Gibbs has said. And I hope that you'll come tonight and you'll receive the wonderful blessing of the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you're here, you do that by hearing the gospel, believing that gospel, repenting of your sin and confessing Christ, and then being buried with him in the water grave of baptism for the remission of sin. And his blood will then cleanse you, and then he will add you to his church, and there you'll be compelled to live according to his will. If this is your desire, if you strayed away from God's fold, why don't you come back and rededicate your life right now while together we stand and sing, "Will You Come?"
Hark, the voice of Jesus falling tenderly upon your ear. Sweet is the cry of love and pity calling. Turn and listen, stay and hear. Ye the labor and the heavy laden
upon your dear lost breath.